Well, good evening, everybody. Today is Monday, July 16th, 2018, and it's your city council meeting. I'd like to invite you to rise with me for the salute of our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. You may be seated. We move on now to the roll call of your city council.
Councilmember Czar.
Here.
Councilmember Greg.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Councilmember Kennedy.
Here.
And I would like to request an excuse for Councilmember Kate Hansen. She has had some transportation issues tonight. She will be here when she can. So,
do we need an excuse if she's going to be here?
Well, she's going to be late.
We will ask for that. If she doesn't make it to the end, we'll ask for an excused absence. Is that okay with council?
Sure.
Very good. A little bit out of order, but Mr. Sweeney is going to talk a little bit about brewing over city business, I believe.
Hello, everybody. So, Riley Sweeney, communications officer. If you haven't heard the good news, we're launching a program tonight to encourage folks to come out for our city council meetings and learn more about how their local government works. So if this is your first city council meeting, or you're willing to say that it's your first city council meeting, and you are a resident of Ferndale or work in Ferndale, please
sign up here. And if you stay to the closing gavel, you get a $10 Woods coffee card. So our goal is to the hope is that you would take this as an opportunity to go bring a friend or a neighbor out for a cup of coffee and share what you learned about your local political process and hopefully learn something about your local government. So I hope somebody takes us up on this offer because I've got a lot of these coffee cards.
Thank you. Well said. And these are gifts both of the Woods Coffee Stores and the Whatcom Community Foundation. No city monies. And no animals were hurt in this commercial as well.
That's very good.
We're going on to public comment, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're new at a council meeting, we always like to hear from the public, and if you have something you'd like to talk to your council about that's not on the agenda tonight, if what you want to talk about is on the agenda, just wait till a little bit later. We ask that you come up, tell us who you are, where you're from, and we are happy to give you 3 minutes. So are there any takers tonight? Seeing none. We will now go on to item B, which is called the consent agenda. These are a number of items that are rather mundane and normal for the city to do. Generally doesn't need a lot of public attention. So the council will oftentimes adopt a number of these items in one fell swoop. And I think right now I'm going to ask the council, what is their pleasure?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Gray Hansen and seconded by Councilmember Watson to adopt the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. And the agenda has been adopted. Going on to probably the big item of the evening is an update on our Thornton Overcrossing project. And is that public work? It is. Mr. Rentz, welcome.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Kevin Rentz, Public Works Director. Biggest project on our capital program, biggest project that Ferndale is going to be undertaking for a while. We might do a sewer treatment plant that's going to be approaching the same dollar value, but this is more exciting, I think, than the sewer treatment plant. As council will remember, we had been working with David Shear of Shear Design to design the bridge, and they were with us up until the 30% threshold on the project, and then for a number of reasons they had to bow out of the project. We re-advertised the project and selected Reichart Neve and KPFF together to design the Thornton Overcrossing. So tonight we have representatives from Reichart Neve, we have Luis Ponce, and then from KPFF we have Ann Struffert and Jason Lee that are going to give you an overview of the project, give you an understanding of where we are in the design right now, and then a little bit of timeline and cost going forward with the project. So I'd like to invite Luis to come up, and I'll let him start off. If you could please just reserve your questions till the end. We've got time set aside at the end of the presentation that we'll be able to get everybody's questions in and make sure that we get everything answered. So hand that over to you, and then I'll go ahead and pull up the presentation.
Hello, I'm Luis Ponce. Go over this because I'm not as tall as Kevin. So
As I'm Lou Sponsor, we're the prime consultant on this project. As Kevin mentioned, Ann and Jason are here. They're the ones who are doing the bridge design. And just kind of give a quick intro. We were called in here to obviously go over the project and kind of see where we're at and what needs to be done. As some of the people here may not know about the project, I'll give a quick overview. It has been on the city's transportation plan for a number of years. It is a project, a new east-west alternative. I'll go ahead and probably kind of let you know. So it's starting at Molloy, goes easterly across the tracks, and then ties into the roundabout that was constructed in 2010. As you probably know, it's in your comp plan and your transportation plan as an alternate east-west route. The project will reconstruct the road with two travel lanes, two shoulders, two sidewalks. There'll be storm drain improvements, water main improvements, and the sanitary sewer that was installed, I think it was last year, will have some minor modifications as the bridge is going to go over where the current alignment is. And if there are no questions, I'll go ahead and just proceed to the presentation. So obviously that's obviously a lot of people are interested in is how are you going to get over the tracks. That's a quick overview. You can see in the center, obviously, we're right over the tracks and touching down on both east and west of the tracks. This is an aerial of the project. It might be hard to see some of the details, but we start at Molloy and Thornton, then head easterly, go over the tracks, go southerly, and tie into the roundabout at 2nd Avenue. There'll be a new pond, as you can see, on the southwest corner of Thornton and the railroad tracks, and there'll be a new bridge over the BNSF railroad tracks. So some of the questions are, obviously, where are we at now? We have completed 60% design, and the city is reviewing it right now. We have also submitted our draft 30% plans to BNSF. It's part of the requirement as part of going over the tracks, is we have to give them a layout. We have to go 1,000 feet north and south of the track to see where it's at, a profile, and some other details. And Ann and Jason can give you probably more details on what exactly is needed if you have questions on that. We are addressing their comments. They came back with 4 comments, and none of them seem major. We're working with them, and we've set up a meeting for later this week to, or early next week to potentially talk to them and figure those out. We are starting on the right-of-way proceedings. We have determined some of the right-of-way impacts, so we're working with an acquisition agent on setting up the cost, figuring out who we need to talk to, and doing the upfront work before we start talking to the public. On the same line, the environmental permitting has started. We have to work with our environmental permitting person of what are the impacts, so we're working on the areas. Given them the impacts, obviously we have to look at any ditches that are impacted, do any historical looks, and see on the wetland impacts as well. Obviously an item, as Kevin mentioned, that's important is what's this thing going to cost? We submitted, along with the 60%, we submitted an estimate, and this is the numbers we're looking at right now. The construction contract is what we expect the contractor, it will cost the contractor to do the work. Right now we're using a construction engineering of 10%. Typical is between 10 to 15% for a project of this size. We think around 10% is probably close. On the right-of-way, we're assuming about $1 million. That's for a right-of-way acquisition and includes one of the other lots that has a significant impact. So right now the total for that is about $17.8 million. We've also added a 20% contingency. Obviously we're just at 60%, so if things change between now and 100, we have some fluff to use in case we have some design changes. Obviously we'll work with Kevin and Katie if anything significant comes up and let them know. Another item I'm sure everybody's interested in is, when is this thing going to get built? Our current schedule shows us as getting the 90% around September, October of this year, and then the 100% by the end of the year. We expect that the right-of-way and the permitting will extend beyond that because we have to deal with other agencies, we have to deal with the Corps, we're trying to deal with WDFW and other permitting agencies. Same thing for the right-of-way, as we have to deal with the public. There's requirements of when and how much time we have to give them to look at our offers, and there's also the time of just going back and forth with the public. Obviously, we want to be fair with them and want to hear them out. So we'll talk to them and take their input, and that just takes time, as you're probably aware on some of your other projects. Or I know Katie is with Church Road in Washington. It's just a process that needs to be done, and it's fair to the public, and it's let's just do it the way it's supposed to be done so you don't get any issues. On this schedule, we're looking at advertising for construction around July of 2019, and then there's probably the one- or two-month period where we have to add for 3 weeks and then getting the documents in order with a contractor. So we anticipate we could start the construction around September of 2019. As mentioned, with Shearer was that there's probably going to be a preload, and we've talked to our geotechs. Everybody probably knows this. There's some soft soils on the east side that will probably settle as the project progresses, as we build up the ramp. So we're anticipating about 18 months worth of a preload, basically piling dirt, letting it compress, and then coming back and building the bridge. After that, we anticipate the bridge and the rail construction about 20 months. The main item of work, or this is going to take the most time, is the bridge. The road project, you've seen a number of road projects. I don't anticipate it'll take as much, but the bridge is obviously more technical, more specific, that they'll require more time. That's my presentation, so if there's any questions, I'll be more than happy
Council.
To answer.
Reichardt Eby here, Councilmember Watson.
Why can't we preload now? I'm just wondering why we have to wait until 2019 to preload.
A lot of that's it's in the area that we're buying right away, so we can't put soil on that right away until we buy it.
More questions from council?
I have one.
Councilor Routain.
On the budget, it said 21-something million, but we're only getting over 19 million. Mm-hmm. How are we paying for the remaining balance?
Mr. Young.
We're going to be selling the coffee cards for $15.
That'll work.
Well said.
Actually, we've been anticipating this project ever since the state was kind enough to put us on the list. And so we've been saving up our monies. And as Luis says, there is at least right now, a sizable contingency. Hopefully, the contingency will drop and the construction cost will not fill in that gap. So we're hopeful that we'll have what it'll take to between the $19 million that the state gives us and the eventual cost. From a timing standpoint, too, I wanted to note that you may remember that the Connecting Washington dollars that we received, not unlike some other awards, you don't get the money all at once. We get our money in three biennia. So we get our money over 6 years. And if you can go to the one where we have the... we're working off of, I believe it's $3 million right now that we received for the design. And then in the next biennium, which is the 1920 biennium, we'll get the bulk of the money. But starting in July of 2021, we'll get the last of the money. So I guess I don't know whether it's good planning or just kismet, but when we will actually start the road construction, we should have all of the state money, even though it'll come in over two different bienniums. We were concerned about how we were going to build half a bridge or three-quarter of a bridge and then wait 2 years, but I think for better or worse, the preload actually might actually match up our construction schedule with our award from the state.
Yeah, I'd add that we're anticipating that we'll be doing a TIB application to request for some additional funding from TIB, and then we'll be utilizing funds from city funding sources, both the Transportation Benefit District, we have REIT funds available, and the transportation impact fees that we're able to levy to use for the funding of the project. So between the funding sources that we have in-house and the potential for getting additional outside funding, I think that we're very well positioned for the project.
And the good news is you might recall discussion about going to voters about a traffic improvement district, is it whatever it's called. We don't need to do that. That will have enough. More questions? Councilmember Kennedy.
Yeah. Thank you for a good presentation. Much appreciated. Do we need to wait for design to be 100% before we make our environmental permit applications?
No, we're starting up right now.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we do know it takes some time. Like, we better get started because it's going to be a long timeline.
I'm just curious. Any questions from the public? Some of you may be here because of this project. We want to hear from you. Questions or concerns? This is pretty good news tonight. So,
back in March of 2016,
come up front. Yeah, thank you. Just for the record, Joe.
Joe Valerie, 6024 Malloy. Looking at my notes here, back in 2016, in March, the folks from Shearer Design were quoting or estimating costs between 26.9 and 31-1. I'm just wondering, is there a dramatic difference in the design, and has that been looked at?
There have been some not significant changes. I think one of the things was, I believe, some of the piles were changed, so that reduced the cost. But I think a lot of it has to do with the design at the, I think that was at a 30% estimate. We've refined the design. I think, I know from my end, we've gotten down to how many sticks of pipe are we going to need. Because I know during the 30%, I just did a quick, it's this many feet. We're down to the valves, how many hydrants, how many catch basins. So it's a lot more refined. I pretty much say the same thing for KPFF. Their numbers are more refined. They have the quantity, square footage of fill, square footage of walls. So I think that has to do a lot with it. Our numbers, I think, are better.
Very good. And that's a good question. I kept thinking that, too. Mm-hmm. More questions out there?
Yeah, Mark Sviacki from work over at Samson Road. So we're obviously impacted. Yeah.
One more time, if you don't mind.
Mark Sviacki from Samson Road. We're obviously going to be heavily impacted by the project. We're excited, but we're also scared a little bit. So the one question, we'd seen designs from the previous, and I just haven't seen detailed designs. They weren't on the current city on the website for Ferndale. So we haven't seen anything. I don't know, Dave, if you've seen.
Yeah. It looks pretty good, but I think it would be nice if you could show Mark the details of.
Do we have that overhead of the driveway into Samson?
Yeah, that's the one concern, just basically trying to understand what that impact is, and if we're if it's available, we can even.
Yeah, you see the access. I mean, we talked to Katie, we could have a 60%. Yeah.
Can you zoom in, Kevin? Impossible.
I don't believe that I can. Not on a PowerPoint.
I'm curious, too. How did you decide to do that?
So just a little bit of the pathway that the Sampson, that the access has taken is that we do need to have a storm pond that's going to be located. You can see that the blue hashed area here is going to be a storm pond. In our conversations leading up to the project and trying to figure out what was going to be required for access into Samson Road, we had discussions with the fire district as well as the design team about the pond location, and it was decided that we needed to supply 360 degrees circumnavigation of the Samson site, which led to the design of the roadway going down. So the road will come off both sides of Thornton, and one will come down to the south and around, and then there'll be an access point underneath the bridge. The actual bridge support is back far enough that there's a travel lane available so that they can get into Samson Rope. So there will be two access points available to Samson Rope, consistent with the requirements for life safety, and that also that we have access to be able to get into the pond to do the pond maintenance that's required over the years with that.
So that'll be closed to regular traffic? It'll just be open for Samson Rope trucks? Or are there people going to be able to go down in there?
It won't be closed to regular traffic, but I'm not sure that anybody would have a need to go down and go in there unless they were trying to access the pond or access Samson Rope property.
And I think Greg was sharing with me, this has been reviewed by the fire department as to the safest way to have access for them as well, for their trucks. That was a good question. Good to have you here. Anyone else? Thank you, Luis.
Thank you.
Greg, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, because Mark is here from Samson, I mean, has this been run by Samson? I mean, you know, they're the ones that know what kind of truck traffic is in and out. I mean, are we consulted with them at this point?
So right now we have the 60% design has come back from Reichart and EB and has been delivered to the city relatively recently. We've been trying to review the document. And as with anything, we like to do an internal review before we reach out to the outside partners. We had an original kickoff meeting some time ago when Scheer was still involved with the design and had a meeting with Samson Rope, talked to them. And it's our intent to go back and re-engage with all the partners that are going to be with the project. The design that we're envisioning right now is a significant improvement, less of a reduction in the access for Samson Rope. And so we're hopeful that it'll meet with their business needs as well as the project needs. But ultimately, you know, we need to construct what makes sense for the project and then mitigate the negatives, if there are any, with that.
Okay. Very good. Councilmember Taylor.
Can we get a copy of the PowerPoint for the record?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's already part of the record. Yep. There you go. More questions? Councilmember Watson.
I guess maybe for Haley, what do you envision happening with that land between the railroad track and the road? Do you think businesses could be there, or is that, are you going to leave that open?
They could. It's zoned for, I believe, manufacturing.
I think this is mixed-use commercial.
Oh, that one's mixed-use commercial.
The lower end.
Yeah, right down in there. I think if they could address the critical areas in that it could be developed, it would be a nice frontage to bring some businesses there, right on the tracks. I think above it is the one I'm thinking is manufacturing. That property owners come in a couple times and just discuss some general options, but theoretically there could be development.
Because I was thinking down closer to the roundabout, if someone could put something. It's kind of a weird shape. I don't know what you
mean. Yeah, if you're talking about the very long rectangle,
yeah.
I believe the property owner is here, and so... We've talked over the years about this project, and I think by anyone's estimation, this is going to make that property much more developable. I mean, it's literally going to be on the main line from the residential area of the city onto the freeway. I don't know what plans Mr. Smith has, but any way it goes, he or his successor will probably find having a fully functional road with water, sewer, and storm pretty advantageous. And also on the other side, where that large white rectangle is, that says something Road Pond. That property there, we've been engaging with the property owner who owns that, who's had it on the market, and we're hopeful that we'll need to obtain that land for the pond. It is at the lower end of the property, right next to the tracks. But we're hopeful that new access road for Sampson will also serve to access a portion of that property as well, and again make that property even more attractive for development in the future, because again we'll have a brand new Thornton Road, we'll have water, we'll have sewer, all the infrastructure will be there. So this, we've always thought of this as an economic development stimulus in many ways for that area of the city, as well as perhaps more importantly a very good way for our folks who live up on the hill to not have to traverse through downtown and get to the freeway in somewhat of an unimpeded way.
So is that mixed-use commercial toward the southern end of it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the large parcel that has the, where it says pond, that parcel.
I'm actually looking on the east side of it.
This side, yeah.
Yeah, over there is all mixed, yeah.
This is mixed-use commercial.
Yeah.
Okay. Over on this side, there's a little bit of manufacturing that's mm-hmm. to the north and still in between the Burlington Northern tracks and the freeway. And then the parcel that you see with the mm-hmm. pond on it has a component that is mixed-use commercial. And then the upland portion of it is zoned residential. So that actual parcel is bifurcated by two different zones.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mr. Smith, you came all the way down from the street. Do you have any questions or comments?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, we're always glad you're here.
I appreciate I was thinking that possibly Mark here would be able to have a set of plans to look at, and be able to show him. I probably got more back in my office that you sent me than you've got here. I don't know. But, all I've got to say, and Greg, you said back a moment or two, what kind of plans we have for this other property. Well, we haven't planned too much, simply because this has been coming for something over 45 years. So you can see it. We're excited about it, but we got to see it before, But you're looking at me here. I'm getting pretty long in the tooth, but I just want to assure you that I got a daughter and a son-in-law, and it's their 15th wedding anniversary and today. And so they said, well, Dad, how about it? You go down and report back to us tomorrow or another day. So otherwise they would be here. And they're very committed to Ferndale, okay, as an investment property. And they will carry on. And I'll be gone, and they'll be they'll be, you'll be seeing more of them than me probably from here on in. I want to thank everybody that's responsible for getting this done, and some past mayors and council and what have you, and it really looks like it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be good for the city, and it'll be good for us, and if it's good for us, it's good for the city, it's good for Sampson, and I think Mark here, I've been a little reluctant to show Mark anything too, you know, but I thought he was going to get the full load here tonight, but I'll talk to Mark and I'll get him some plans and we'll talk about it. So that's all I've got to say. So thank you again. And Greg, it's always nice to see you. You've been the steady go-go here guy, and he's for a long time. So it's good to have some anchor there. I'll call you the anchor man. How's that?
There
that
you go. Okay? I'll alert the Border Patrol.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay,
Smith.
Thank you.
Well said. Thank you very much, guys. We got it covered. Going on our agenda, item D, private developments update with our associate planner, Haley Miller. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. So good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My name is Haley Miller, the associate planner, and I'm bringing you the routine private development update for projects occurring around Ferndale, and you should have a map in your packets. If there's anything on that map ever that you guys have questions about, we can help answer it during the meeting too. So I've chosen three projects to highlight tonight. Taco Bell, not to be confused with Taco Time, La Bounty Apartments, and Third Avenue Duplexes. So Taco Bell is first. The plan is to demolish the existing Denny's building. Denny's went out of business last year, so that old building will be taken down and will be replaced by a new drive-through facility for the Taco Bell business. It's a smaller building. It's about 2,700 square feet, and the drive-through will enter on a Barrett Road entrance and then through the drive-through and then hopefully back out the same way. So I'll show you a site plan. This is a picture of the look of the building. It's called the Explorer Edition that they're bringing to this area, so it'll have some wood features on it and look a little bit less like a fast food restaurant, hopefully. So some effort went into the design, and that's just an example of what it'll look like. Here's a site plan. So as you can see on the west side, they'll enter through on Barrett, through the parking lot, and then around through the drive-through. The applicant did a couple extra queuing spaces just to try and keep all the traffic on their property. So that's the layout. We're currently reviewing the civil plans for the project. The site plan layout has been approved, so I think that we may have another round of review comments, and after that they should be starting construction, I would say, in the next couple months if all goes well. Do you guys have any questions about Taco Bell before I move on to the next one? Okay. So La Bounty Apartments, located in the 5100 block in Ferndale. It's a large acre site. It's about 9 acres. It's west of a current project that's being developed right now called La Bounty Apartments. And then I misnamed this one. It's actually La Bounty Place Apartments. So that's the difference in the names between the two. And it's just north of the previously proposed Whatcom County Jail site. This is a picture of the site plan. There will be 150 units proposed total. So there's 5 buildings and they're 30 units apiece. It's a rather large project. We've been working on it for the last year just to get the layout approved. There's 4 buildings proposed on the north half of the property, and there is a creek that runs through the property that splits up the phases. The applicant is required to comply with all the critical areas regulations. They do have a pretty substantial buffer that they are supposed to maintain and will be required to address the culvert under La Bounty, dedicate frontage improvements to the city of Ferndale, and construct the frontage improvements along the full length of the property as part of their construction approvals. So this is just a zoomed in version. It makes it look more like a real life site plan. This is the first phase, so that's the 30 unit apartment building. They have some amenities in the outdoor area for the tenants, and then parking, and then, of course, landscaping will be required in and throughout the development.
They're also required to submit a traffic concurrency study to analyze the trips coming north and southbound on LeBounty and to see if we need to kind of look at the traffic situation. We're still awaiting that study, but they are looking at LeBounty and what this trip will do to it since there is such a high number of units going in this area. This is just a preliminary concept of the elevations proposed. Before they do submit building permits, the applicant will be required to come into the city and make sure that their buildings meet the existing RMM zoning, just because we did recently switch the zoning from RM 1.5 to a more comprehensive multifamily zoning, so they'll need to come into the city and get proper permits for the design of the buildings. But this is just the preliminary sketch that they had with this submittal. As far as where they are in the review process, I would say they're at least a year down the road of breaking ground. They are just working on getting the layout approved and the traffic study. And the next step would be for the engineer to take that approved layout and then start designing all of the civil infrastructure that needs to actually go to all the buildings. So that's the lengthier part of the process, and then, of course, constructing the buildings.
How many units again total?
150.
Wow.
It's a lot. The current zoning actually allows 10 to 30 units per acre, so they could actually have just under 250 if they could fit it on there. I doubt they could based on the critical areas that extend on site, and then fit parking too. I think that's what kind of limited this development. They're pretty maxed out on parking outside of the buffers, so I think 150 is on the higher end of what they could have achieved there.
Councilmember Kennedy and Councilmember Olson.
Thank you. Will these be sprinklered for fire protection?
Yep, they're apartments, so when they're stacked on top of each other, they're required to have sprinkler systems.
Thank you.
Councilmember Olson.
Looking at the map, Haley, I can't see it too well, but it looks like there's one on-street entrance from the south end and one from the north end, and that's it?
Yep, there's two proposed entrances into the development, and it's delineated by the stream naturally. Those are the phase lines for it. I couldn't figure out how to really zoom in better on it, sorry. But yeah, there's an entrance there and then one along the north end.
Very good.
Next project, I guess I have a third, I think I do. Okay, Third Avenue duplexes, so just right down the street over here across from the Ferndale Granary, south of the fire station. Pretty small project on a little lot, zoned urban residential. Two duplexes are proposed. They each have two bedroom units in, pretty straightforward. Here's a side view of it facing north toward the fire station. The building has moved a little bit closer, as you'll see with the setbacks. They're reduced in the urban residential zone, but with this one, it's not right up on the sidewalk, kind of like the one over on Vista, so it's back a little bit. I think it looks a little bit nicer. So they did put some additional detail features in the front of the building, so it would look nicer against the public right-of-way. So here's a side view of it. And they have two different buildings. It's hard to tell in the picture, but they did vary the colors in there and then put some detail features on the stairs so that people could enter from the street to the development. And that's a site plan. It's pretty obvious how it's laid out, but they have just their basic parking, two buildings, and it was a pretty straightforward project. We just finalized it, or if we haven't, it's very close to being finaled in the system for people ready to move into it.
Very good.
So that's all I have for you guys this time.
Well done. Questions from council? I just wanted to note, because I'm always curious about those things, are fast food restaurants that pop in. I did a little research on that, and they bring in about $10,000 a year, give or take, in sales tax and in TBD revenues to the city, which is about equivalent to our property tax allowable increase. So without blinking, we've equaled that in just about two recently fast food restaurants, tacos. So there is an upside to everything, I would hope. Well done. Going on in our agenda to modification 602, I guess we call this the Rooster Ordinance.
Rooster Ordinance, yes.
Jesse Osbaugh, our enforcement officer. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. Jesse Osbaugh, Code Enforcement Officer. The Ferndale Municipal Code outright prohibits roosters, peacocks, and guinea fowl, but does not give authority to the animal control to confiscate those animals. So today staff is proposing a minor modification to the animal control chapter, simply stating that these animals are subject to confiscation by animal control. What we're proposing tonight is slightly different, very slightly different than what you saw at committee. If you could pull it up. Basically, we're adding a reference to FMC 6.02190 and 6.02280 So it reads, roosters, peacocks, and guinea fowl shall be prohibited outright, and this is the new language, and shall be subject to confiscation and civil penalties by animal control authority in accordance with those two chapters. 6.021, I know, has to do with entering private property to take possession of domestic animals, and 6.02280 is the penalty section for the animal control chapter.
And that minor change is in the published packet.
It is now.
It is, yes.
Not at committee. Excuse me.
But, okay. It's updated now.
Yeah, so the city attorney at last minute conversation had us add that little reference there at the end. So that's the short story. I can go into the background or answer any questions.
Councilman Rolson?
I wanted to move Agenda Bill 1807002 for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the ordinance as presented. I'm looking to see if anybody has a pet rooster they brought with them tonight. Those things happen occasionally here in Ferndale, so there doesn't seem to be any discussion out there. Discussion from council. Seeing none, you're ready for the question. All in favor of the ordinance, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The ordinance has been modified. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Very good. Well done. Going on to mayor reports, I have just handed out the Old Settlers Weekend schedule to everybody, and there are a couple copies in the back door. That's our annual big event. They're also looking for some volunteers at Old Settlers, so if you have some interest in being involved a little bit, talk to me or any trustee, and we'll get you involved. The mayor is not doing the humble hometown hero tonight. One of the council members will be doing that. And that is all that I have.
Operation Love Thy Neighborhood.
Oh, thank you. One more thing. We kicked off Operation Love Thy Neighborhood last week, and we got some pictures for you. The Ferndale Alliance Church was persuaded by their pastor to be guinea pigs in this thing, and so what they did is they collected a box of cool stuff from the city, which included safety vests, garbage bags, safety gloves, a couple first aid kits. I'm not sure why there were two in there. And then Edeline's, of course, supplied free ice cream. And so what they did, they spent about an hour going in four different directions and scooped up all the garbage that they could find. And one of the young men put it in their truck, took it to the city dumpster, and we cleaned up about 6 miles of Ferndale streets in an evening. So we have another church that signed up to do another one, and we're looking for churches, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, political parties, Republicans, Democrats, who want to do something for their neighborhoods, can do that as well, whatever groups, and see if we can beautify our city and save ourselves a couple dollars. Mr. Sweeney.
This also saves some time internally with public works and communication, because we regularly get groups asking to do a volunteer project with the city, and we don't always have a project, especially since y'all greenlit a bunch of park labor. We don't have as many parks to clean up anymore, so this is a nice thing where we can just hand them the kit, they can go do it, and they bring back the kit. So.
Very good. And thank you for your help. Mr. Sweeney was wonderfully helpful on that. Council reports. Councilman Morales.
We'll still need an excuse for Kate Hansen.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Why don't we do that now before we get close to you? Would you make that motion?
I'd like to excuse Kate Hansen for this evening's meeting.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Olson, seconded by Councilmember Kennedy to excuse Councilmember Kate Hansen from tonight's meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Thank you for remembering that. If anybody has her, text me or let her know not to panic to come in. She'll get her number. Council reports. Councilmember Watson and Councilmember Taylor.
The Ferndale Food Bank is having Ferndale Uncorked this Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. and you can get tickets on ferndaleuncorked.org.
Excellent. Councilmember Taylor.
I was chosen to present the humble hometown hero for the night.
I think you chose the hero as well, as I recall, just presenting it. Thank you.
And it says, thank you, Riley. On this day, Monday, July 16th, 2018, Sarah Fassett is recognized for her continued commitment to Ferndale, her deep involvement with the Ferndale Chamber, business advocacy, the Ferndale Downtown Association, and her service on the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board has a lasting impact on our community. We appreciate you and all you do. We are proud to put her name in the record as the true humble
hometown hero, Heiska.
Well said. And anybody here would like to sign that, there's plenty of room, and then we will mail that to her. More council reports. Seeing a staff report. Public Works?
I'm good.
Planning?
I'm good, too.
Oh, very good. City Clerk?
Nothing.
Great. Communications Officer, Mr. Sweeney.
I have a few brief ones. Thank you to everyone who showed up at Flicks in the Park and Music in the Park. It was a busy weekend, but a lot of use for Pioneer Park, and a lot of great things happening there. So, if you want to get all warmed up and excited for the Uncorked event, I suggest you come out this Saturday for Field Games. So, July 21st, we're going to be in Vander Yacht Park doing some classic field games, sack races, balloon toss. We've even got two of those giant inflatable hamster balls that you can roll around in. I know you're just dying to get into one, Kevin.
Dying.
Yeah. So, don't float down the river, though. So that's going to be happening July 21st at Vander Yacht Park at 1 o'clock. Hope to see you all there. And then August 3rd, we will have our Food Truck Friday. We have Taco El Tool on tap, and they have promised on pain of death to show up. So we're excited to have them join. We also have a few others that I have not extracted such promises from yet. And then August 4th, so that Saturday, we have tie-dye your T-shirt at 1 p.m. at Vander Yacht. So bring an item of clothing, and you'll get to tie-dye it right there. It has to be not black. Sorry, Rebecca. But anything that can soak up some dye, we will be there tie-dyeing your T-shirt.
No,
so
don't
you have black dye?
So that's Vander Yacht, 1 p.m., August 4th. Yeah. That's all I've got on my agenda, and I look forward to seeing you all in the parks.
Our city administrator.
Today I was looking through the bills and tagging onto the field games. I saw an invoice. I was wondering, why did we buy 6 dozen eggs? And I went out and asked, and it's indeed the, you know, carry the egg and the spoon idea. So not only is Riley keeping the citizens in kind of engaged, they're keeping me engaged trying to figure out exactly why we're buying dozens of eggs.
And renting spicy houses.
Reduce right chicken population.
I would have cracked under the pressure. No yelling.
Our chief of police. Great. I'd love to entertain.
We have a question for the chief. Are you guys going to do the song?
Yeah.
Come on.
Content.
Come on. No guts, no glory. It's not volunteers, you're the boss.
I've been leaning on him for 3 weeks about this.
Yeah. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. And before I call the vote, just a reminder, if you are that first-time visitor, Mr. Sweeney's up here to take care of you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.